Hello, and welcome to the Fuel Run Recover podcast, helping everyday runners fuel better, run smarter, and recover faster so you can reach your full performance potential. I'm your host, Stephanie Natchek, dietitian, fitness coach, and a fellow runner too. As the owner of Stephanie Natchek Performance Nutrition, I've spent the last 10 years helping runners learn to fuel their bodies, level up their running performance, and establish healthier relationships with food and exercise. If you're ready to reconnect with your love of running, then let's get started on today's episode. All right. So before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to invite you to check out a few great free resources that I created just for runners. To get them, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes or visit www.stephanienatchek.com. If you visit my website, there's a little pop-up box that comes up and it'll prompt you to enter your email address, and these guides will be sent right to your inbox. The first guide is my fueling guide for runners. So in this resource, you'll find my top fueling tips for runners, as well as some specific meal ideas for both your pre- and post-run fuel. If you've been struggling to understand what to eat when to support your running and just figuring out like what those meal ideas, like what those meals look like, what kind of foods you should be including before versus after you run, what the difference is between pre- and post-run fueling, then this guide is exactly what you need to get you started on the right path. The other guide that I created is my strength training guide for runners. So this guide includes both a PDF resource, has some tips, guidelines, and links to my YouTube series where I actually walk you through all of the exercises in the program. This is a great beginner strength training guide for runners who want an effective but efficient full body workout that helps support the key muscles and movements you need to run stronger and injury-free. So once again, both of these guides are available together. I have them put together as a little bundle for you. You can just click on the link in the show notes or go over to www.stephanienatchek.com, enter your email address just the one time, and both of these free guides will get sent to your inbox right away. I hope you enjoy these resources and find them helpful in supporting you and your running. And now let's get into today's episode. All right. So hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Fuel Run Recover podcast, where we are bringing you part two of the biggest nutrition mistakes that runners make. So if you haven't already checked out part one of this series, I'm kind of rather than doing a big, bulky, long episode where I, you know, talk about all of these in detail, I'm breaking down these biggest top nutrition mistakes that runners make into a three-part series. Three parts so far. Maybe I'll add on more. We'll see. And you can check out last week's episode, which was part one of this series, and that is not eating enough to fuel your overall training demands. What we ended up getting into was talking a little bit more about, you know, both like chronically underfueling, but also the issue that people can have with like underfueling and overfueling and just, you know, having a very inconsistent approach to their eating and sort of their overall calorie intake. So we talk about the issues and sort of the dangers and issues that can arise with chronic underfueling, which we call problematic low energy availability. But I also talk about how, you know, for a lot of runners, it's sort of this flip-flopping and going back and forth between over and under eating that is sometimes a more consistent problem or sometimes a more prevalent problem. So definitely go back, check out part one of the top nutrition mistakes. It is going to set us up for part two, which we're bringing in to you today, that is not timing your meals around your training. So this is sort of the second biggest mistake that I see runners making, aside from just eating the wrong amount to fuel their training demands and just not kind of being in tune with how much they need to fuel their bodies. Not thinking about meal timing and not thinking about when they need to eat throughout the day, that again can be a really big problem. And it sort of goes into our first issue of just not eating enough in general or, you know, kind of being over or under with our total calorie intake. But not thinking about meal timing can also contribute to low energy availability, not having the calories available when we need it. And then also noticing that we're not making, you know, gains or making progress with our performance because we are not taking in the fuel when we're most active throughout the day. So there are a couple kind of primary reasons why runners don't time their meals properly around their training. I think the first reason is that people just have no idea that this is even a thing. Most of the athletes that I work with have never really thought about meal timing or kind of thought about how when we eat is as important as what exactly we choose to eat throughout the day. And I think a lot of it stems from the fact that most of our nutrition recommendations are provided to us in a total per day, right? You need a certain number of calories per day. You need a certain number of grams of protein per day, grams of fat, milligrams of calcium, micrograms of, vitamin B12, whatever it might be. We think about everything in a daily quantity or how much you need over the course of 24 hours. So I think a lot of runners just don't really know about the importance of meal timing because they've never been told that they need to think about it. The second, and this is big, big, big for my morning runners out there, I know there's a lot of you listening that are running in the mornings, is that we wake up and we're just not hungry. We just don't feel like eating in the mornings. And this could be a matter of waking up in the morning, you don't feel hungry, so you don't want to eat or think you should or need to eat, carrying on with your day and having your breakfast when you feel like eating later on. But it also could be that maybe you have tried fueling, especially in the morning before a workout. You've tried fueling before you train and it hasn't worked for you. Maybe you have gut issues, your stomach is upset, you end up with, nausea, maybe acid reflux, gas, bloating, diarrhea, whatever it might be, but you just do not feel, of course, do not perform your best because you're having these gut problems when you eat before a workout. The other big reason why runners don't necessarily time their meals around their training is because of the popularity of doing intermittent fasting. So a lot of people are choosing an eating window that is, say, from, 6 or 7 at night until well into the next morning, maybe like 10, 11, even 1 or 2 in the afternoon, depending. There's so many different ways to do intermittent fasting. It's just, the sky's the limit on the ways that people can kind of shift around their eating and their fasting windows. So people will have a fasting window that their workout takes place in the middle of their fasting window or in the midst of their fasting window. And so this could be another reason that it's, that we just don't know the importance of timing our meals around our training. So we're doing intermittent fasting and then we're exercising in the morning right in the middle of that fasting window, and we are not getting in any nutrition immediately pre or immediately post-workout. And then the other reason, the other, I'll say, really common reason that a lot of runners don't really think about timing meals around their training schedule is because they've been told that avoiding food pre-workout, so specifically not having a pre-run meal, is going to help you burn more body fat. This is not true. So I want to say it again. This is not true. Doing fasted exercise, especially intense workouts, especially like high intensity, whether it's, sprint training, HIIT training, like any kind of speed work that you're doing those workouts fasted without any fuel in your body is not going to help you burn more body fat in the long run. Do some people see some weight loss when they cut out calories while they're still doing a certain amount of exercise? Yes. But this can become an issue for a lot of people and does become an issue for a lot of people because we ultimately end up struggling a lot with our workout performance. So we cut out that pre-workout meal, we drop those calories from our day. Then, especially, and again, this is especially true for people who exercise first thing in the morning, we can see a real struggle with energy levels. We can see runners who are not able to complete workouts at harder efforts and overall just having less endurance. So you're taking more walk breaks, your heart rate is higher, you are supposed to be doing speed work at a specific pace. You're not able to maintain that pace for as long as you should be. You might feel like you mentally, physically have less energy. You might even get some really, I'll say, more serious symptoms of things like feeling dizzy, feeling lightheaded, maybe feeling nauseous, like you are just running out of gas. And we don't want that. You know, of course, we don't want poor quality workouts. We want the best possible quality workouts as much as we possibly can. And fueling is a huge part of that. But then what can happen is that in and of itself can be a trigger for eating more calories later in the day. So it becomes a little bit of a vicious cycle for some people where they're really under fueling, under eating because they're trying to cut those calories away from the morning time. But then they're really, really hungry later in the day and end up maybe making not so ideal nutrition or food choices later on. This especially can be kind of late afternoon and into the evenings. So if you're listening to this and you're a runner who does not eat in the mornings, does not fuel before a workout, and then you find that by late afternoon to the evening, you just can't seem to stop eating. Maybe it's hunger, but maybe it's not. And you just feel very out of control around food as the day goes on. It's fascinating how much timing your meals more in line with your training, timing your meals more in line with your running schedule can make such a difference here. And I'm going to talk more about that as we, you know, go through how to fix this problem. What's really interesting too is that from a body composition perspective, we can also see some detriment to not timing our meals around our training. And the reason here is twofold. Kind of what I just mentioned with eating a lot of extra calories, maybe overeating at other times of day, that being a problem. But then also, we are not optimizing the quality of our workouts. We're not running as fast. We're not lifting as heavy. We're not doing the same capacity of work. Therefore, we're not optimizing our calorie burn during that workout that we could have been if we had fueled properly. If we have to take way more walk breaks, if we're running a lot slower, if we're not hitting our pace targets, we're not able to do those last couple sets of speed intervals, you know, things like that are happening with our workouts. Maybe what the workout plan says is one thing, what we're actually doing and accomplishing is very different. And sometimes this disconnect between what our training plan says we're doing and what we're actually doing can sometimes be a major problem and a major reason why we're not getting the results that we want, and maybe we're not reaching the goals that we have for ourselves. So not timing our meals around our training can be an issue because it can leave us struggling with our workout performance. And sometimes people don't even really realize that they're struggling until they fuel properly. So it's like, oh, I think I feel okay. But then all of a sudden I start to fuel myself better. And it's like, oh, wow. Like I didn't even realize how good this could feel. I didn't even know that I had this much capacity. I didn't even know that I could do this workout with such ease until I started fueling myself better. So don't assume that just because you don't feel maybe like garbage right now without fueling properly, don't assume that you won't feel better. Maybe if you're just used to running, always feeling harder, or just kind of used to a certain threshold, when you fuel your body to its full degree, you know, as best as you possibly can, it's amazing, you know, how much better workouts can feel and what we're able to accomplish. Or you might find that you need a tremendous amount of caffeine to get you going and to get you through those workouts. And sometimes that, you know, caffeine, of course, is a stimulant. It's also an appetite suppressant. So if you're finding that you are needing to rely really heavily on caffeine or more caffeine to get you through those workouts, and then, of course, you're not feeling hungry until later on because of the amount of caffeine that you're taking in, thereby maybe increasing your intake, having a bigger appetite later on in the day, you know, it's easy to see why this can become a problem. So these are a few things we want to keep an eye out for. Struggling with workout performance, not seeing the improvements or changes in our body composition that we think we should be, feeling really hungry later in the day, having to rely more on caffeine. And of course, the other reason why not timing our meals can be an issue is because then when it comes to our actual race day performance, we aren't used to fueling properly for races. And I see this pretty frequently in some of the online communities that I'm in for runners, Facebook groups and the like, is that people will get to the week of or a couple weeks before, say their half marathon or their marathon, and they'll be asking for feedback and advice about what they should eat before they run the race. So they're used to doing all of their training fasted. They do not eat in the mornings before they run. but they suspect or they know that they're not going to want to run a half marathon or a full marathon without any fuel in the tank. They're not going to want to do that with no breakfast. What should I eat the morning of my race? And unfortunately, if you are so used to not eating, it's going to take probably a lot longer than just 1 or 2 weeks for you to adjust and to train your gut to tolerate the amount of food that you should be having before a race like that. Especially if the reason that you typically don't eat is because you have GI issues when you fuel. So the benefits here, the reason why we want to time our meals around our training, we want to be optimizing the fuel that we're taking in, is because we have better quality workouts. That's huge. Of course, we want to feel better, feel stronger, and also be able to do more work during our workouts. We want to be hitting our target paces. We want to be lifting as heavy as possible. We want to be able to finish our long runs feeling strong, not crawling home at the end because we're so, so devoid of energy. We've just got no gas left in our tank. So feeling better, feeling stronger, having those better quality workouts, really important. Not only because then, of course, it's, you know, getting better work done, but also helping to improve our body composition by allowing us to actually build the muscle and the strength that we're trying to. It also, again, from a body composition perspective, and also just from an overall fueling perspective, allows us to have a better regulated appetite throughout the day. So we aren't really backloading our day's calories and eating more than we need to or more than we should be in the late afternoon into the evening. So if you kind of imagine, and maybe this is you that I'm describing, but if you can imagine a scenario where we're doing our run in the morning, we're not eating very much all day long, just, you know, we're maybe skipping our pre-run fuel, maybe like a protein shake with a scoop of protein powder and water afterwards, salad for lunch. And then by mid-afternoon, we have no energy left. We are exhausted. We are starving. And so we start eating. We feel like we just cannot stop as the day goes on. So we're maybe having a late afternoon snack, picking something quick and easy. I don't know, a chocolate bar. That'd be my go-to personally. Have dinner. Maybe we're having a second plate at dinner because we're so hungry. And then we're snacking on chips in the evening before we go to bed. So if you kind of imagine that, because we didn't eat breakfast or lunch, it might not seem like we've overdone it. And maybe if you were to track the calories that you've consumed, maybe it's not a huge, huge amount of calories, but they are not the calories that we want to be fueling us. We're probably not getting enough protein. We're probably not getting enough fiber. We're probably not getting enough vitamins and minerals. And our workout quality might suck because we didn't get the right calories at the right time of day before we needed them before that workout. So we can be doing this. We can be working extremely hard, yet feeling exhausted, and, you know, we're trying to do our best to eat well, but we just feel completely out of control with things. And so the solution here, what we want to do is not restrict and eat less later in the day. We want to actually space out our calories a little bit better and front load the day's calories so we are getting the nutrition when we need it. And what's really interesting is that research that has looked at body composition for athletes, what we see is that athletes who eat the closest to their actual requirements, right? Not the ones who are overeating or undereating to any kind of extreme, but the athletes who are eating the closest to their actual needs throughout the day and, you know, taking into consideration the timing, have the best body composition. And so does that mean the lowest weight? No, but they have the most kind of ideal muscle body fat ratios. And again, it's not about just trying to get the number on the scale down as low as possible, but trying to optimize our performance. And that's where you want to be thinking about body composition, not just weight, and certainly not just weight loss. So maybe you've seen some success with dropping your pre-post-run meal. Maybe you've seen some success with doing something like intermittent fasting. If you want to listen to more about intermittent fasting and get kind of my tips and my thoughts on how to structure this so that it works for you as a runner. If you do want to incorporate that as part of your nutrition plan, you do not have to. I'm not advocating for intermittent fasting by any stretch. But if you do find that you want to eat that way and you do want to incorporate that into your lifestyle, then definitely go back to season one of the podcast, listen to episode 14, where I do break down how I would recommend structuring that to make it work best for you to be reaching all of these goals that you might have as a runner. So how do we fix this? What do we do first, right? Because if we know that we're going to have better performance, better body composition, a more regulated appetite, and fuel better and feel better and get better race day performance, there is really no downside to timing our meals around our training as much as we can. So how do we start? What do we do first? The first thing we want to do is start with a small pre-workout snack. So if you're not currently fueling because you aren't feeling hungry, you don't want to, you're having gut issues, anything like that, the first thing we want to do is we want to start with that small pre-workout snack. And when I say small, I mean small. Half a banana, a couple of crackers, graham crackers are nice, a good option as well. Half a slice of toast with some jam on it, like small, 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 not a huge, big plate of food by any stretch. And of course, we want to include fluids here too. So we want to make sure we're having some water, maybe some fruit juice, maybe something like Gatorade or some kind of sports drink as your pre-run snack, but just something small, just putting a little bit in your stomach. Over time, we are going to increase that amount. Over time, we are going to slowly get more as we build that gut tolerance. We're going to be able to have a whole slice of toast, maybe two slices of toast. Before a big long run, maybe we're having two slices of toast and a banana and a glass of juice. You know, like we're just slowly kind of building things up, but giving ourselves weeks and months in order to get there. So start small, go slow. Incorporate your carbohydrates and your fluids into your pre-run meal. Then what we want to do, the second thing we want to do, is prioritize a post-workout meal that includes a combination of both protein and carbohydrates. So not just having a scoop of protein powder in water, but having like a smoothie that's got fruit and maybe yogurt, and you know, you're using milk or juice as your liquid, and you're getting all of these nutrients in one. It might be something like a sandwich. It could be tuna, it could be egg, it could be like a chickpea salad sandwich. Maybe it's a quinoa salad with black beans. Maybe it's eggs and toast or eggs in a breakfast burrito, cottage cheese and fruit, you know, something that includes both protein and carbohydrates. This is true no matter the time of day. So we definitely want to be focusing and prioritizing our pre and our post run nutrition, no matter when we exercise during the day, like no matter when that training is happening, but especially in the mornings. And I don't know if it's just because morning running is so common. Like I just happen to personally work with a lot of people who train and run in the mornings. And if this issue of underfueling and not getting in enough energy early in the day is just that much more monumental when we're running in the mornings as opposed to other times of day. But I find this is something that really affects the morning runners the most. But if you're somebody who runs later in the day, say late in the afternoon or early evening, kind of before dinner, then you might also struggle with this because between, you know, maybe having lunch and doing your run can be quite a long time. So, you know, whether this is going to be a pre-run snack, run, and then post-run breakfast, or this is mid-afternoon pre-run snack, and then dinner. Either way, wherever that workout is taking place, wherever that training is happening, we want to be thinking about our pre-run and our post-run meals and really make sure that we're structuring our day around that. The goal here is to consume more calories when we're more active throughout the day, so that we have less hunger and overeating happening at other times of day. Now, again, this I tend to see this most often with people who are doing their training in the morning and then having a hard time with their appetite and hunger cues in the evening. But if you're someone who does exercise later in the afternoon or into the evenings, then this very well could apply to you just as much as our morning runners. And the goal here, you know, of course, getting our calories more, you know, ideally spaced throughout the day is big, but we also want to go into this whole process not with a restrictive mindset, but allowing our hunger overall to be better regulated by increasing our intake when we need it most. So you may not be a person who wakes up hungry in the morning, naturally wanting to eat something before you go for a run. That might change. You might find that over time you do start to feel hungry because your body gets used to you putting something in your stomach early in the morning, or maybe not. You might always kind of need to force yourself to have that slice of toast or a banana, but you will find that your performance improves as a result. So ultimately, you will thank yourself for it. You will find that when it comes to race day, especially for, you know, like I said, that half marathon or longer distance, when you definitely want to be having some kind of pre and intra run fueling strategy, this will make a big difference for you. You will find that you have better performance when you incorporate a better fueling plan. So that is it for today's episode. That is what I wanted to share about not timing your meals around your training and why that is one of the biggest mistakes that I see runners make. So just to recap, our first mistake, part one, you can catch that in last week's episode, was not eating enough to fuel your training demands. Today here, we've talked about not timing your meals around your training and how that can be detrimental to your performance and helping you reach your goals. Come back next week where we're going to be talking about part three of the biggest running mistakes that I see runners making. I can't wait to share it with you and hope to see you back for next week's episode. If you're looking for more help with your nutrition as a runner, if you've been struggling, if you're listening to these episodes, listening to these mistakes, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's me, you know, we're just checking you off. Everyone on the list here sounds like you. Then the good news is that I am here to help you. We have resources available here to help you. The first one is my Fueling Guide for Runners. And this is available. You can find the link at just in the show notes, and you can download this free fueling guide, which basically gives you ideas, suggestions, tips for your pre, your intra run, and your post run fueling. So it's a really great resource just to get you started out with fueling better, fueling properly for meeting your running goals. Then, of course, if you want more help, if you want to do a deeper dive, dig into things a little bit more, have a place where you can go and get your questions answered. I have an online mini course all about nutrition, fueling for runners called the Fuel for Runners online course. This is a fabulous resource if you are looking to get a really deep dive, really go through everything you need to know about fueling as a runner. Of course, if you have questions along the way, I am here to answer them. I'm just an email away to provide support for that. And finally, we have my online signature program. This is the Fuel Train Recover Club. This online program has everything you need, not just with nutrition, also with your training, with your recovery, teaching you what to eat when, how to train, how to recover faster so that you can really become the best runner you can be. With this online program, you get access to me as your coach. We have training plans, we have meal plans, we have, you know, kind of everything you need to make sure that you're able to reach your running goals while developing and fostering a really healthy relationship with food and exercise. So this is not just a quick fix diet program, weight loss program, anything like that. This is really about learning how to fuel properly, understanding your fueling needs, getting help when you need it, so that you can find sustainability with running, you can find joy in running, and reconnect with your love of running, which is something that I am so passionate about and want to help every runner out there do, is reconnect with their love of running. So you can find more information about all of those options, my online program, my online course, in the show notes for this week's episode. I hope to see you in there soon. And we'll see you back next week for an all new podcast episode. That's it for today. We will see you next week. Bye for now. The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not to be used or relied upon for the diagnosis or treatment of any health condition. This information does not create a client-practitioner relationship and should not be used as a substitute for professional medical advice.